Shalom, Australia. The state controller, Yosef Shapira, issued a severe critique of military and political leaders for their failure to prepare adequately for the threat of attack tunnels ahead of the 2014 war with Hamas in the Gaza Strip in a pair of highly critical reports published on Tuesday. The reports found significant gaps in the military's intelligence in the lead up to the war, as well as a lack of clearly defined operational plans for how to destroy the tunnels from Gaza. The report said those failings may have led to the unnecessary deaths of Israeli soldiers during the 50-day conflict. The Prime Minister's office bore the brunt of Shapira's criticism for its failure to sufficiently brief members of the Security Cabinet about the subterranean threat. By the war's end on August 26, 2014, the IDF had targeted over 30 tunnels, of which 14 had crossed the border into Israel. Thousands of rockets had been fired by Hamas and other Gaza groups indiscriminately into Israel. A total of 74 people, 68 soldiers and 6 civilians, died on the Israeli side of the conflict. In Gaza, more than 2,000 people were killed, with Israel putting the percentage of civilians killed at approximately 50%. Israel said the high proportion of civilian Gazan deaths was the fault of Hamas, which embedded military infrastructure, including tunnel entrances and rocket launchers, in residential neighborhoods. Though the tunnel destruction became a central objective of the campaign, the controller accused Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of having kept senior ministers in the dark about the threat prior to the war and only seriously addressing it in cabinet meetings after the operation began. The tunnel threat report also accused Netanyahu and the then Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon of endangering Israelis living near Gaza by halting government funding for their local security teams and pulling out the soldiers who used to stand guard outside their communities in the year and a half leading up to the operation. The National Security Council, the Security Cabinet and the IDF were also implicated in the war's failures. In a poll conducted after the release of the report, Netanyahu is still the preferred prime minister of the Israeli electorate, with an approval rate of about 30%. There was also scandal emanating from the Labour Party last week, after a recording leaked on Thursday appeared to point to a secret deal between former Labour Party chairwoman Shelley Yakimovich and veteran party MK Eitan Kabel. The recording suggests that each will support the other in a dual leadership bid for the party and Israel's main labor union. Kabel is heard saying, "I met with Shelley. I want to go with Shelley to the Histadrut. Shelley is committed to support me in the elections for leadership of the party." On Thursday, both again denied any collusion, saying the recording was taken out of context. Security forces bulldozed 9 homes built on private Palestinian land in the West Bank settlement of Afra on Wednesday afternoon after police finished evacuating the last remaining protesters from the roof of one of the houses. The operation began on Tuesday with police removing right-wing activists from the houses in intermittently violent clashes throughout the day. After successfully evacuating all but one of the structures on Tuesday, police decided to wait until Wednesday morning to remove dozens of demonstrators who barricaded themselves on the second floor and roof of the last occupied house. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit on Wednesday officially notified the High Court of Justice that he will not defend a newly passed law that legalizes Israeli West Bank settlements built on private Palestinian land. The legality of the highly contentious regulation law is being challenged in the High Court by the Sinwar municipality, along with several other local Palestinian authorities. In a letter to the court, Mandelblit cited the legal opinion, which ruled that Israel's Attorney General was not legally bound to defend the executive branch. Due to the exceptional circumstances of the case, Mandelblit said he would allow the state to be represented by a private defense attorney. The regulation law, which Mandelblit has repeatedly warned would be indefensible in court, was approved by the Knesset last month. A military court ruled on Thursday that IDF soldier Alor Azaria, convicted of manslaughter for shooting an unarmed Palestinian attacker, will not begin to serve his jail sentence until after his appeal is heard. On Wednesday, Azaria's lawyer appealed his 18-month military prison sentence and filed a motion to delay his entry into prison, due to begin today, until the end of the appeals process. Israeli troops operating near the Gaza security fence came under fire north of the Strip on Thursday in the third attack in 4 days. No soldiers were reported injured, but an army engineering vehicle was hit by gunfire. The military responded by striking two Hamas divisions in the northern Gaza Strip. A Palestinian broke into a home and stabbed and lightly wounded the resident in the southern West Bank settlement outpost of Chavat Mor on Wednesday. The victim shot the alleged terrorist, who was pronounced dead on the scene by a local doctor. A 20-year-old Palestinian man carrying a knife was arrested yesterday outside the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron. 50,000 passengers due to pass through Ben-Gurion International Airport on Thursday were able to continue the check-in process by mid-morning when tech teams managed to repair a malfunction that had grounded the automated luggage checking system, forcing security staff to check cases manually. Travelers reported delays of up to 3 hours before they could get to the gates. As a result of the problem, 400 suitcases were left stranded at the airport and early morning flights to a range of European destinations were delayed. Photojournalist David Rubinger, called the photographer of the nation by late President Shimon Peres, died on Wednesday. He was 92. Born Dietrich Rubinger in Vienna in 1924, he came to the pre-state Israel in 1939, escaping World War II on a youth immigration program. Rubinger's mother died in Belarus in 1942. His father, who had been sent to Dachau concentration camp, escaped to England and survived the war. Rubinger spent 3 years living and working on Kibbutz Bezera on the southern shore of the Sea of Galilee. When he turned 18, he volunteered for the Jewish Brigade of the British Army, serving in Africa and Europe. It was while on leave in Paris during the war that Rubinger was given a camera by a French girlfriend, and he discovered how much he enjoyed photography. His first professional photo was with Jewish youths climbing on a British tank to celebrate the United Nations 1947 petition plan for Palestine. Back in Israel, Rubinger began freelancing for local papers, including Ha'olam Hazeh, Yediyot Achronot, and later the Jerusalem Post. He was hired by Time magazine in 1954 after capturing one of his first and best-known photographs of a nun searching for a patient's set of dentures that had fallen out of a hospital window and over the green line into what was then Jordanian territory. During 1967, in the Six-Day War, Rubinger caught the image of three paratroopers standing in silent awe in front of the recaptured Western Wall, a photograph that has become an icon in the history of the State of Israel. Rubinger's career with Time magazine lasted until he was well into his 80s. He was the only photographer to gain access to the inner sanctum of the Knesset cafeteria, often permitted to capture Israel's early leaders in their most private moments. He was the Knesset's official photographer for 30 years and the only one to have his work on permanent display in the Israeli parliament. Rubinger was noted by reporters when, with his trusty Leica Flex camera in hand, he covered the swearing-in of the government in May 2015. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting from Jerusalem for SBS Radio.